hearts to listen to what the Lord wants to share with us this morning. And that is a theme I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning, the real challenge of commitment towards world mission and fulfilling the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've had the privilege of serving the Lord in South America for the last 30 years. Back in 1987, I was able to go out to Peru, and I've been working there ever since. It was not the first time I've been in South America, because, in fact, my parents were missionaries in Uruguay. I was born in Montevideo in Uruguay, and we came back to Britain back in 1970. So I come from a missionary background. But I need to say this morning, I'm sure you're all aware of this, that missions has changed phenomenally in the last 50 years. There's been a phenomenal change in world mission. First of all, there have been changes at a very practical level. Traveling, for example. A couple of years ago, I was able to come back to Britain for my brother's wedding. And I came for 2 weeks and then went back again to Peru. But when I came back with my parents in 1970 from Uruguay, it took us 3 weeks just to arrive here. Because back in 1970, we didn't fly to the mission field. We went on boats to the mission field. And so just the sheer fact of traveling has changed phenomenally over the last 50 years. And that has affected missionary work. Secondly, there's been a phenomenal change in technology. So when my parents were out in Uruguay, the only way they could really communicate quickly to Scotland or to England, where they were from, was by telegraph. Even phones weren't used very much in those days. But yesterday, when I was traveling over here from Bristol, I stopped at the service station to have a long chat via WhatsApp with Pastor Marco in our church in Trujillo, because it's a big pastoral issue that we needed to talk about. So technology allows us to have instant communication around the world. So there's been a change in travel, a change in technology. There's been a tremendous change as well in participants who are doing mission. When my parents were sent out back in the 1950s, it was felt that the rest of the world needed to be evangelized, and so from Great Britain, we could send out lots of missionaries to Africa, Asia, South America to preach the gospel. But now what is happening? 50 years, 60 years later, many churches in Britain are dwindling in size, while the churches out there overseas are phenomenally big. And that is producing a great change in mission. For example, in London, we have a couple from our church in Trujillo. They're now church planting in London. We have another member of the pastoral team of a church in Trujillo. They're heading up the work in Barcelona, in Spain. We have three couples in Manchester from various churches in Lima working amongst Muslims. So the participants of mission has changed. And it's no longer only British people that can go out as missionaries, but Britain now is receiving missionaries from overseas. So there's been a phenomenal change in missionary practice. But there are two things that have not changed. First of all, the message. The message is still the same. It doesn't matter how travel or technology changes. The message of salvation by faith in Christ alone is still universal. But there's a second thing that does not change. And that is the need for commitment. Missionary work will never be done unless we have full commitment on the part of the churches and on the part of individuals to fulfilling the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to speak on that subject of the importance of commitment in missionary work. There are several areas of commitment that we need to be really grounded in. Some of them may be surprising to us. First of all, I believe we need to be very committed to understanding the mission of Christ. What is Christ's mission? Now, I say that because sometimes we get confused between missionary work, what we go out to do, and the mission of Christ. Obviously, both things have to go together. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get somewhat confused and we don't always understand what Christ's mission is. Now, the reason for that is that when we go back to the Bible, that was exactly the problem of the disciples. You know that the disciples, these 12 men, they spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus. And in fact, the Lord Jesus sent them out to engage in mission. But if you read in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and verse 6, you will find a real misunderstanding in terms of what mission, even Christ's mission, was about. Do you remember when the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, "Will you now restore the kingdom to Israel?" Why did they ask that question? They had spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus, and still they did not understand the real nature of Christ's ministry. What was the problem? Well, the problem comes out in the passage that the pastor read this morning in Luke chapter 24. If we look, for example, at verses 45 to 47, what do we read here in God's word? Luke chapter 24, verse 45 to verse 47. It says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and die on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations,'" to all the nations, "begin in Jerusalem." So Christ's mission, based on the Old Testament, is to reach all the nations with the gospel. But the disciples, even though they had spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus, were still not very clear on what Christ's mission is. And my friends, on this Missionary Sunday, can I invite you to reflect and remind ourselves what is the nature of the mission and the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we need to do, of course, is we need to go back to Scripture, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the nature of Christ's commission. Because the danger, I believe, and I notice this coming back to Britain over the last 30 years, I believe that we're in a similar danger to the disciples. If they had spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus, why, despite his dying and rising again, they still felt that mission was to do with just restoring the kingdom to Israel, to make Israel the big nation? It was because their culture, their Jewish culture, the environment in which they were living, led them to believe that is God's main purpose. He just wants to bless Israel. And they centered God's mission on themselves as a nation. Now, what is the danger for us as people living here in Britain, here in Wales? That we also, if we're not careful, as God's people, despite the fact that we read the Bible and we believe the gospel and we meet to worship Sunday by Sunday, if we're not careful, our own British environment can begin to condition our thinking about what God wants to do in our lives. And so many young people, as they're growing up in Christian churches, their thinking is this for many young people: well, I finish secondary school, then I need to go maybe to study at university. And I'll ask God to help me to go and find a good university in which to study. and then after I finish my university study, I will ask God to give me a job. And once I have a job, then I will ask God to give me a partner in life. And then I will ask God to give me a good house in which I can live, have a nice car, have my nice holidays, and all through life, I just thank the Lord and bless God for this wonderful life he has given to me. And we ask ourselves, did the Lord Jesus really die on the cross to save us for that life? Because that is your average British concept of living. And I suggest that we're in grave danger as God's people living in Britain in the 21st century of allowing our cultural environment to determine our thinking of what God wants for us. And so it's good for us, at least once a year, if not more often, to go back and ask this question: what is Christ's mission all about? And you know very well, Matthew chapter 28. The Lord says, I have saved you so that you can go into all the nations and preach the gospel and disciple the nations, that the nations might come to know faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the commission. Now, of course, to do that, we may need to have a job. To do that, we have to live somewhere. But all those things are secondary. The primary emphasis of life as a Christian is mission for all of us. And this morning, I want to just encourage you to go back to basic principles and ask ourselves, what was God's purpose in sending his son to die for us and calling us into salvation? If it is not to fulfill this great commission, which is to send the gospel to all the nations. And this is something for all of us, not just for a select group of people. All of us need to live and breathe and feel mission. But that takes commitment. It takes real commitment to be willing to go back to God's word and understand what is Christ's mission all about. Secondly, we also need a tremendous sense of commitment that we might take the Lord's mission as the main purpose of our life in this world. We need to be very clear about this. That the main purpose of all our lives, whether we are missionaries overseas, or whether we are pastors here in Britain, or whether we are just, inverted commas, ordinary members of the church, all of us need to take God's purposes for our lives as the most important thing. Here the Lord Jesus is speaking to the disciples. But he is not speaking to them only as individual men. He is speaking to them as the leaders, the founders of the Christian church. And as you go through the Acts of the Apostles, you will very quickly come to understand that mission was not just for the apostles. For example, go to Acts chapter 6. And we'll find these deacons have been named to care for the widows of the church. But they weren't just doing diaconal ministry. In Acts chapter 6, we find Stephen engaging in evangelism in Jerusalem that leads to his arrest and stoning. Then we go on to chapter 8. We find another deacon, Philip, and he goes off to Samaria to preach the gospel in Samaria. And then you go on to chapter 11, and you will find various people traveling around the world, and whenever they went, they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the early church was a missionary church. Every believer was involved in mission, not just a select few, not just the apostles, not just today pastors or missionaries. God's purpose is that the whole church, every single individual that's being called to salvation, We need to ask ourselves, what is God's purpose for our lives? Again, if we're not careful, we fall into the trap of the apostles. Go back to John chapter 21. Do you remember what we read in John chapter 21? The news has broken that Christ has risen from the dead. But because the Lord Jesus wasn't present with him at that moment, what does the Apostle Peter say in John 21, verse 3? He says, let's go fishing. I'm going fishing. What did he mean by that? I'm going fishing. Was it just a kind of hobby for Peter? He wanted to spend some spare hours on holiday and go do a bit of fishing before coming back and getting on with life? Of course not. He was a fisherman. That was his trade before the Lord Jesus called him to be a disciple. And several of his friends and family members and disciples, they were also fishermen. So when the Apostle Peter says, I'm going fishing, what he's saying is, I'm going back to my old life. And the other disciples said, well, we'll go with you as well. And of course, parabolically, they fished all night and did not catch anything. And until in the end, the Lord Jesus appeared to them and revealed himself to them. And then when the Lord Jesus revealed himself to them, he called them again and recommissioned them to mission. What the Lord Jesus was saying to them is this: when I call you to follow me, it was for the whole of your life. It was not just something for 2 or 3 years. And then after that, you go back to your normal life again. Can I say this, my friends? If we are Christian people, there should not be a normal Christian life. For all of us, commitment to fulfilling Christ's purposes needs to be paramount in our thinking. Of course, by that, I don't mean that everyone has to become a missionary or everyone has to become a pastor. What I'm suggesting this morning is that mission, in its widest sense, is a call for all Christian people. And what we need to do as soon as we become Christians, the first question we have to ask is, Lord, why have you saved me? What is the purpose of my salvation? What do you want me to do? Now, the Lord may well say, well, I want you to be a dentist, or I want you to be an accountant, or I want you to be a lawyer, or whatever it might be. But we need to be conscious that we're doing that for the Lord, and that our jobs as accountants or lawyers or dentists or whatever it might be is part of our mission and our service for the Lord. This is something I've learned very much in South America. The South American Christians can teach us a lot about how to be involved in mission in your day-to-day work. Can I tell you of a man called Hugo? Hugo is a member of our church in Trujillo. He's been a Christian 5 years. He's a policeman. And because his work as a policeman involves once a week on a Monday morning, they have parade at a big police station. You know, a few months ago, Hugo came to me and said, Pastor, I've talked with our superior at the police station, and I've asked him if you can go as a pastor and speak to all the policemen when they're doing the parade. And I gulped because I've never done something like that. But I had to go on a Monday morning to stand in front of 40, 50 policemen waiting for their week's duties. And they were told, well, a pastor of a church has come and he's going to preach to us. And I then had the opportunity of preaching to all these policemen. And then the following week, Pastor Marco went and preached. And then the following week, I went again and preached. What was going on? Hugo, this recently converted believer, he realized that God had saved him as a policeman. So the question is, how can he use his work as a policeman to share the gospel? You see, he's thinking mission. He's not just thinking, well, I'm a Christian policeman and I'll go and be a good policeman. He was thinking, how can I use my job as a policeman to share the gospel? Now, I know that here in Britain, things are very different. And maybe you can't get away with doing something like that. But I wonder if the Lord Jesus, if we were open to the Lord Jesus speaking to us and challenging us how to witness in our workplace, how to use the job we have to be able to witness for the Lord. That would be a great thing for our Christian lives. I know there are many differences. I know that Britain is very different from Peru. But surely, my friends, the principle is the same. God has not saved us just to engage in normal secular work. God has saved us that wherever we might live, whatever we might do, our number one priority, our number one thought and prayer is, Lord, use me in this place of work. Use me in this community, because you have saved me to be able to proclaim the gospel, that men and women might be saved in all the world. So we need to have a commitment to seeking God's purposes in our lives. That's very important for us to fulfill God's the Great Commission. Then we need a third area of commitment. The third area of commitment is the commitment to seek God's power for engaging in mission. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus spoke to the disciples here in Luke 24? We've read of this. The Lord Jesus called them and said, what I want you to do is engage in worldwide mission. You have to take this message to the ends of the earth. And then the Lord said, but you cannot do it in your own power. You need to receive power from on high. So the Lord said, go to Jerusalem and stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. That's a very powerful word. Can I ask you, my friends, have we prayed that? Have we, as individual Christians living here in Newport or round about Newport, have we asked the Lord specifically to fill us with great spiritual power so that wherever we're living and wherever we're working, our lips might be loosed and our lives might proclaim the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is part of mission. The basic understanding, we cannot do it in our own strength. We need the Lord's strengthening. How do we get that? Well, there are several things we can do. Number one, we need to engage in daily, deep Bible reading and study. You see, this is one of God's ways of infilling us with his power. As we spend time reading and studying God's word, getting to know the Lord better, getting to understand the way he works, reading his promises, studying his promises, seeing how it works out in the lives of the prophets and the apostles. What will happen, my friends, if we are reading and studying God's word on our own, privately in our homes? The Holy Spirit will work within us, teaching us, transforming us, inspiring us. And that's one way in which the Lord wants to empower us by his Spirit, that we might fulfill the commission wherever we live, whether it's here or overseas. So serious, deep Bible reading and studying is very important. If I may, a personal reference. I learned that at university before I ever went to Bible college. When I went to study up in the north of England at the university, I realized I was living among students, most of whom were totally ignorant of Christian things. And I felt very weak. And I asked the Lord, how can I be strengthened by you to witness in this university setting? And the Lord challenged me to begin to engage in serious Bible reading and studying every day. And I amassed a series of Bibles full of notes and colored in. And I read and read God's word. And as I engaged in that, I became aware of the Lord working by his Spirit in me and allowing me to be able to engage in witness and sharing the gospel with others. And God did wonderful things at the university. Bible study is one way in which the Lord can empower us for mission. Second way is reading great Christian books that will inspire us and challenge us at the level of discipleship. And there are many, many books to be read these days. Books on radical discipleship. Books that will challenge us to seek the Lord more in our personal life. Books like E.M. Bounds on prayer. Fantastic book. And I challenge anyone to read E.M. Bounds on the importance of prayer and not to be moved and challenged in your own spirit. And my friends, this is something we ought to be doing as Christian people. We need to be reading the Bible. We need to be studying these devotional books written years ago. And the Lord can work his power in us. And then we need to read great biographies. Read the lives of Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd, Jim Elliot, David Brainerd, Robert McShane. And as you read these biographies of great men of God, then God will work in you as well. But my friends, we need to be committed to this. We need to be committed to seeking the Lord's power for mission. In Peru, it's easy to be a missionary. Because in Peru, God is working in wonderful ways. People are being saved all the time in Peru. In Britain, it's different. What does that mean? Surely the conclusion would be this. If in Britain, it's harder to preach the gospel, therefore the churches in Britain need greater empowering of the Holy Spirit to be able to work in these difficult circumstances. And my friends, can I encourage you this Missionary Sunday to go back to these basic things? The Lord Jesus realized the disciples could not fulfill mission without Spirit empowering. And we need that as well. And we need to be committed to seeking that. Obviously, I'm not speaking of charismatic experiences. What I'm speaking of is real fellowship, profound fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Allowing the Holy Spirit to work out his life in us. And then he will use us in ways that may surprise us completely. But we need to be committed to seeking the Spirit's empowering for our mission. And then, fifthly, another area of commitment is we need to be committed to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. Because part of the work of the Spirit in us for mission is to lead us and guide us in our day-to-day living that we might serve the Lord powerfully. If we look into the book of Acts for a minute, look with me, Acts chapter 3. And we see here how the early disciples were being led by the Spirit to be able to engage in mission. We find it in Acts chapter 3, and we can look at verse 4. Peter and John are going into the temple. And in verse 3 it says, and seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, this man asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. Why did Peter say that? Why did Peter suddenly say, look at us? Because most of us, myself especially, when we find somebody begging on the street, what most of us tend to do is just to walk straight past him. And maybe Peter, natural Peter, would have been tempted to walk straight past him as well. Peter confesses, I have no money to give you, so why stop? But suddenly Peter says, look at us. And then he said these famous words, "Silver and gold I do not have, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Now, my friends, why did Peter say that? Was it just the impulse of the moment? Or was it that at that specific moment in time, the Holy Spirit, in some way we can't understand perhaps, the Holy Spirit inspired Peter, prompted Peter to say those words, and the man was healed? You see, here we have a man, Peter. In Acts 2, he was filled with the Spirit. In Acts 3, he's being guided by the Spirit. And you can go on reading through the whole of Acts, and you will find chapter after chapter, men led and guided by the Spirit in their day-to-day life with a view to fulfilling the great commission of the Lord Jesus. And my friends, I believe that's a real challenge for all of us as Christian people. I know there are some people like myself or people like Joe McMillan who've been called to serve the Lord overseas. That is the Lord's purpose for our lives. We've heard that purpose and we've responded to that purpose. The question is, and for the rest of us who don't go overseas? Is it God's will that we just live a normal, inverted commas, Christian life and attend church and think that mission is for other people? Can I this Sunday morning to lovingly encourage you to go back to God's word and ask ourselves, what was the purpose of Christ saving us? Why did he call us for salvation? Surely the Great Commission comes to each one of us as well. And so we need to ask ourselves, Lord, what is your purpose for my life? Obviously, we need to start where we're at now. And then we need to say, Lord, in the coming years, help me to understand your purpose for my life. Help me to be led by the Spirit in my day-to-day living, that I may have those God-given opportunities just to speak a word in season, that people might be saved. And my friends, you will be amazed at what God is able to do through us if we're just allowing the Spirit to work in us in our day-to-day living. I finish with this example. When I was at secondary school, there was a man, a lad called Derek, and he was a captain of the rugby team at Cottam Grammar School. And because he was a captain of the rugby team, he was a very rather violent man, young lad. We had nothing to do with each other. I was the kind of academic type at school, and Derek was a violent fighter at school. In fact, one day I found him arriving at school with a bat in his hand. And I said to Derek, why have you brought a bat to school? And he said, well, afterwards you're having a fight with another school. That was the kind of man he was. One day we went off on a geography field trip together with a whole group of students. And one night, all the students decided we went out to the pub to drink. And I thought, well, I'm not going to do that. So I felt led of the Lord just to stay in my room and get out the Bible and begin to read the Bible, have my quiet time, while all the others were out to the pub. And at that moment, Derek walked into the bedroom and saw me reading the Bible. And I felt rather uncomfortable. What's going to happen now? And Derek said, what's that you're reading, Alex? I said, the Bible. And he said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yes. And then he said, something just floored me. He said, I go to church as well. I could not believe this rough rugby captain was saying he went to church. It transpired that he went to church because his mom and dad were going through a divorce. His mom was terribly heartbroken, and she was going to church, and she wanted Derek to go with her. And then Derek said, just before he went off to the pub, he said, Alex, I have lots of questions I'd like to ask you about the Bible. That was really, for me, surprising. When we went back to Bristol, we began to spend time together. And we went through lots of things in the scripture together. And amazingly, this guy that was down in the pub, getting drunk, fighting at weekends, was converted in his final year at secondary school. And I said to Derek, well, Derek, now that you've been converted, there are certain things you have to do. You have to stop drinking. You have to stop having relations with your girlfriend. And you need to begin to read and study the Bible in a serious way. And he did it. And the whole school had this impact that Derek could become a Christian. How did that come about? Just by one person being led by the Lord just to read the Bible in his bedroom. And the Lord took care of the rest. Now, my friends, I share that as a testimony of the kind of thing the Lord wants to do through us. This is mission. This is the Great Commission. You don't have to go to Peru to do it. We can do it here in Britain as well. But it takes this commitment of understanding. I've been saved not to live my life as I want to. I've been saved to fulfill Christ's purposes in my life. For that, I need the Holy Spirit's empowering. For that, I need the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me day by day. And for that, it takes great commitment. And this morning, as we come to a close, can invite all of us to just take a moment to quietly ask ourselves, am I living in the center of God's will for my life? Am I doing day by day what the Lord is indicating me to do? Do I experience the power of God in my life? Am I being led by Him so that day by day I can witness for Him? Because we've been saved for that, to make Christ known wherever we might live and to the ends of the earth. And as the Lord speaks to us, may that bring glory to His name as we fulfill the Great Commission both here in Wales and overseas as well. Now we'll finish by singing hymn number 40.